Good morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, that is the first passage we'll look at this morning. Luke chapter 12. In verse 1 of that chapter, Jesus is referenced, and we see a statement that he makes at the end of that verse. Says there, in the meantime, when the many thousands of the multitude were gathered together, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. I want to consider some things about this statement of Jesus here this morning, as he said, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. I want to specifically zero in on that word hypocrisy there that Jesus warns against in that verse. As we think about that word hypocrisy, it's an interesting word in the most literal sense, or maybe I should say most broad sense. The word for hypocrisy refers to doing something for a show. But when it's used in Scripture, it refers to doing things that give off an appearance of serving God in some way, but not doing so in sincerity, simply doing so as a show, or we might even say as pretend service to God. There's a good example of what hypocrisy is in Matthew, the 6th chapter. In Matthew chapter 6, throughout the first part of this chapter, we see several things that help us to understand what hypocrisy is and how to avoid it. But I want to zero in on verse 16 as we begin thinking about hypocrisy here in our lesson this morning. In verse 16 of Matthew 6, Jesus there is speaking, and he says, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with sad faces, for they disfigure their faces that they may be seen by men to be fasting. Most certainly, I tell you, they have received their reward. Notice there that sentence Jesus said that they disfigure their faces that they may be seen by men to be fasting. So these individuals, Jesus was warning against, would literally put on a face to make it look in the eyes of others or to show to others that they were fasting. They were changing their appearance in order to be perceived a certain way in the eyes of others. And that's a really good example of what hypocrisy is about. It's about giving off an appearance of one thing while the reality is something else. It's about pretending to be something we're not. And specifically, when it's talked about in Scripture, it involves pretending to be a servant of God, while in reality we are not at all serving Him as we should. So I want to talk in our lesson here this morning about some different demonstrations, we might say, of hypocrisy, some different areas of life in which hypocrisy can come out and in which we need to beware of hypocrisy. For instance, one area where hypocrisy can sometimes come out that we need to be aware of is in what we might call hypocritical worship. If you look over at Matthew, the 15th chapter, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and I'll read verses 7 through 9. Jesus here was responding to some scribes and Pharisees who were critical of his disciples because they failed to wash their hands before they ate bread. And in Jesus' response, it's made clear that what they were binding was a man-made tradition rather than a command of God. But notice some words Jesus uses here in his response to them. In Matthew 15, beginning at verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine rules made by men." So notice here in these three verses, Jesus calls these scribes and Pharisees hypocrites in verse 7, and in verse 8 he gives a good illustration of hypocrisy when he mentions that they draw near to God with their mouth, they honor God with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. In other words, they pay God lip service, and their speech and their actions seem to give off an appearance of wanting to be right with God. But their heart, Jesus says, is far from me. Their heart is not truly seeking to please God. And he goes on to give the specific problem that was demonstrating their hypocrisy here in this context in verse 9, when he says, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine rules made by men." So something that we can glean from this passage is that these scribes and Pharisees were religiously keeping man-made traditions and religiously binding man-made traditions on other people. And Jesus said that in so doing, they were worshiping God in vain. They were claiming to please God through these things, maybe believed they were pleasing God through these things, but in reality, the worship that they were doing in this particular instance was worship that God had not commanded. They were simply submitting to their own man-made traditions as worship of God, and as a result, they were worshiping God in vain. We see a similar passage over in Colossians 2:23 that brings out this problem. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 23, there some Christians were being warned against Judaizers who were binding man-made traditions, much like these scribes and Pharisees were in Matthew 15. And as the Holy Spirit through Paul talks about these man-made traditions, notice what he says of them in Colossians 2:23. He says, "Which things indeed appear like wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and severity to the body, but aren't of any value against the indulgence of the flesh." In other words, he says, these things give off an appearance of worshiping God sincerely and in humility, but in reality, he says, this is just self-imposed worship. It's not worship that God instructs, rather it's worship that came from the minds of men. Rather, the Holy Spirit through Paul said that, but that's similar to what Jesus said in Matthew 15. And so we see in these two instances an example of worship being done hypocritically, worship being done that was self-imposed, worship being done that was something that came from the minds of men rather than something that was actually instructed by God. And so how this ties in with hypocrisy and what hypocrisy is all about, we can be guilty of doing things in service to God that may make us feel like we're very righteous and may make us seem in the eyes of others like we're very righteous, but in reality, we're doing things that aren't at all commanded by God. And so in a reality, we're not submitting to Him at all. And there's a lot of examples we could consider with this as we think about all of the different man-made practices in religious groups today. But we want to make sure that when we worship, we are truly worshiping according to what God has told us. Otherwise, we are simply giving off an appearance of serving Him faithfully when in reality we're not submitting to what He's commanded in His Word. But something else that is a demonstration of hypocrisy that we want to beware of, and this might be the most popular, you might say, form of hypocrisy for individuals to think of when they think of hypocrisy, that is what we might call hypocritical judging. Hypocritical judging involves binding things on others that we don't bind on ourselves, or it involves being more harsh in our judgment of others than we are on ourselves. And Jesus warns about this as well and calls this hypocrisy also. Notice what is said over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, and I'll read the first five verses here of this chapter. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Jesus here is speaking and he says, "Don't judge so that you won't be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but don't consider the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you tell your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and behold, the beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye." So notice here in these verses, we have the passage that many in the religious world are familiar with and turn to insist that it's never proper under any circumstance to judge another person. And we've looked at passages before in Scripture that make it evident that that's not what Jesus was saying. But what Jesus was getting at here in this passage is really summarized in verse 5 of Matthew 7 when he says, "You hypocrite, first remove the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye." In other words, it's not that you, under no circumstance, should ever help someone else to rid their lives of sin. But what Jesus says is, first and foremost, get rid of sin in your own life. First and foremost, look in the mirror, we might say, and remove sin in our own lives. And once we do that, then we'll be able to see a lot more clearly to help others make correction when it's needed in their lives. And so Jesus here was warning against hypocritical judging. He was warning against being harsher on others than we are on ourselves with regard to our service to God. We see that the scribes and Pharisees were also notorious for being hypocritical in the way that they judged. Over in Matthew chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, Jesus there was rebuking some scribes and Pharisees, and he said about these individuals in those two verses, "All things therefore whatsoever they bid you, these do and observe. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger." So notice here Jesus says of these individuals that they are binding things on others that are right. They are things that are good to submit to, but he says, only do as they say, not as they do. Do not follow their works, because he says they say and do not. They're binding heavy burdens, grievous to be borne. They'll lay them on other men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. And this is a really good illustration of what hypocritical judging is. And we might again wonder, how does this connect back to our definition of hypocrisy that we talked about in the opening? But if we are binding things on others that we're not binding on ourselves, we are in effect pretending to hold very highly, or value highly, I should say, these principles that we're telling others, you've got to keep this. But in reality, we're not valuing highly these principles because we're not applying them to our own lives. And so we're giving off this impression that we are really sincere in serving God, saying, you've got to do this. But at the same time, we're not really sincere because we ourselves are not submitting to those commands. And so Jesus warns about this kind of judging where we are binding things on others we don't bind on ourselves. And Jesus refers to individuals who are guilty of this as hypocrites there in Matthew 7 and verse 5. So this is another form of hypocrisy that we need to beware of. But a third form of hypocrisy that we want to beware of is what we might call hypocritical deeds. And this one is one that maybe gets at the heart of what hypocrisy is all about. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at the first seven verses this time of this chapter. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Jesus here is talking about giving charitably, almsgiving, I think is how the King James renders that. And he talks about praying, and he talks about doing it for the right reasons and in the right way. And beginning there at verse 1 of Matthew 6, he says, "Be careful that you don't do your charitable giving before men to be seen by them, or else you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do merciful deeds, don't sound a trumpet before yourself, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may get glory from men. Most certainly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you do merciful deeds, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does, so that your merciful deeds may be in secret. Then your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Most certainly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your inner room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In praying, don't use vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking." And there's a lot in those verses that we won't touch on every bit of it here this morning. But you see in these verses that Jesus is warning in a nutshell against doing things that God does desire us to be doing, but doing them with impure motives, doing them with a desire to show off or draw attention to self, we might say, rather than doing them sincerely because we want to please God and we want to help others. He speaks about giving there in the first four verses, and he mentions, don't be doing them to be seen by men. Don't be sounding a trumpet, which that may have been something he meant literally or figuratively. He basically means don't draw attention to yourself to tell others, look what I'm about to do. And he even says in verse 3, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. And I believe what he's meaning by that is you don't even need to tell other parts of your body that you're doing what you're doing. You don't need to declare it to any person or even to yourself. Your left hand doesn't even need to declare it to your right hand or vice versa. Instead, you just do what you know God wants you to do and realize He knows all and He is aware of what you're doing right and He is pleased with you if you're submitting to Him. And that's who you need to be seeking to please rather than calling attention to what you're doing in order to receive praise of men. Now, in those first four verses, I don't believe he's saying that it's wrong to ever engage in some kind of charitable giving in a setting where others see us or others know what we're doing. But I believe he's saying that shouldn't be our purpose or our motive. It shouldn't be to try to get others to look at us and see what we're doing. Rather, it should be a sincere desire to please God. And he continues with that theme in verses 5 through 7 when he talks about prayer. He mentions there instead of praying in a place where everybody will hear us, He talks about going into an inner room, and I don't believe he's saying there that it's wrong to pray in public. We even have an example of the church coming together and praying in 1 Corinthians 14:16. So he's not saying it's wrong to pray in public, but I believe he's saying here, again, when you pray, don't be vaunting yourself up, so to speak. Don't be putting yourself on a pedestal so others can see you and hear you. And don't be seeking the esteem and the preeminence among others, but rather be genuinely, sincerely praying to God. That needs to be our heart's focus when we go to Him in prayer, whether we're praying publicly or whether we're praying privately. And so the emphasis here in these verses is basically when you do good deeds, do these good deeds because you genuinely love God and you genuinely love others instead of just wanting to draw attention to self and as a result lead others to think more highly of you because of what you're doing. But the scribes and Pharisees, again, provide a really good example of what not to do in this particular instance. What we see as we turn back to Matthew 23, turning back to Matthew 23 and looking at verses 5 through 7 this time, still talking here about the scribes and Pharisees, he says, "But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, enlarge the fringes of their garments." And I'm going to stop there for just a minute. The phylacteries he's making reference to, I believe, has reference to a command that was given in the book of Deuteronomy. I think Deuteronomy 8:6, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But it was a command given in Deuteronomy where God talked about how devoted the Israelites needed to be to His commandments that He had given them. And He talked about writing these commands as frontlets on their eyes, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically He said you need to basically have these things on your foreheads and you need to have them on your arms, these commands that I'm giving you. And I think He was speaking in a figurative sense there to reference how devoted they were to be to the commands of God. But some of the Jews took these things very literally, and they literally had these phylacteries on their arms or on their heads that were there to remind them of God's commandments. And the phylacteries themselves, Jesus doesn't condemn here, but what He condemns here is a hypocritical use of these phylacteries, where the scribes and Pharisees were trying to draw attention to their phylacteries to make themselves look more religious than others. And it was the same thing with the fringes of their garments. Now, that was something that was commanded in Numbers 15 and verses 37 through 40. And these fringes of their garments, again, it wasn't wrong in themselves, but they would enlarge the fringes of their garments because they were trying to draw attention to themselves and make themselves look more righteous than others. And all this ties in with what he says in the first part of that verse. All their works they do to be seen by men. And so he continues then in verses 6 and 7 of Matthew 23 to say that they love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, the salutations in the marketplaces, and to be called rabbi, rabbi by men. And so this gets back again to this desire to be seen by men. They wanted preeminence. They wanted to be esteemed highly in the eyes of others. And that's why they did the things that they did. And so even though the scribes and Pharisees did some things that in themselves were good things, or at least gave off an appearance of being good, the reason they did those things was not sincere. They had an insincere motive. They simply wanted to exalt themselves rather than seeking to please God. And this is what hypocritical deeds is all about. It's about doing certain things that give off an appearance of pleasing God, but deep down in our hearts, that's not our real desire for doing them. We may be doing them for selfish ambition. We may be doing them just to go through the motions without really concentrating on what we're doing. We might be doing them for a combination of reasons, but we're not really sincerely focused on what it is that we're doing as we serve God. If that's the case, then we are guilty of the hypocritical deeds that, like these individuals were, and we need to correct that and be sincere in our service to God. But one last point to consider as we think about hypocrisy here this morning is what we might just call hypocritical living. And as we think about hypocritical living, what I mean by that is submitting to certain commands of God and thereby giving off this appearance that we are devoted to Him and yet completely ignoring other commands that He gives us that we're not really interested in submitting to. And once again, the scribes and Pharisees are a really good example of what not to do in this particular instance. If you look in Matthew 23, this time down at verses 25 through 28, Matthew 23, verses 25 through 28, Jesus there says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and unrighteousness. You blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and of the platter, that its outside may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitened tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And so these scribes and Pharisees, Jesus says, are like whitened tombs that appear beautiful outward but are not inward. That's how these scribes and Pharisees are in their lifestyles. Jesus says they give off this appearance of righteousness and godliness, but within, He says, they're full of hypocrisy, they're full of iniquity, they're full of unrighteousness. Their inward man was not consistent with their outward actions. And it's interesting if you look at the lead into these verses, up in verses 23 and 24. In verses 23 and 24, He points out there an example of how the scribes and Pharisees focused so much on the outward man and missed the inward qualities of the heart. He says there in Matthew 23, 23 and 24, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have left undone the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. But you ought to have done these and not to have left the other undone. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." So notice here in these two verses, Jesus points out the scribes and Pharisees would go to the extent of being very meticulous about paying tithes on these spices, which would make it seem like they were real, real serious about keeping the law. And yet Jesus says you're missing the big picture principles. You're missing justice, mercy, and faith. He calls them the weightier matters of the law. You're failing to see the forest for the trees, we might say. You're missing what's to be at the root of righteousness, the inward qualities of the heart. And it's interesting here in this context, sometimes this passage can be turned to suggest that there are certain minor parts of God's commandments that we shouldn't place much emphasis on, but there are others we need to place a real heavy emphasis on. And so some might say you place a heavy emphasis on baptism and instrumental music. Let's just not place such a heavy emphasis on that, but place a heavy emphasis on brotherly love. But you notice here what Jesus says to these individuals here. He doesn't tell them, instead of tithing mint, dill, and cumin, you should be focusing on the weightier matters of the law. He actually tells them there, you ought to have done these and not to have left the other undone. In other words, it's not an either or, it's a both and. Jesus says you should be doing both of these things. He's not saying instead of straining out gnats and swallowing camels, you should strain at camels and swallow gnats. He's saying you should be devoted to all of God's will for your lives, but by being devoted to part of God's will for their lives and ignoring other parts, these Pharisees were perfectly exemplifying hypocrisy. These Pharisees were giving off this appearance of being real, real devoted to God. We'll go to the extent of tithing mint and dill and cumin, and yet at the same time, they were ignoring justice and mercy and faith. And that's what we're guilty of as well. If there's certain commands in God's Word that we're real diligent to submit to, but then there's others that we're not as comfortable with, so we just ignore those and feel like we're being real strong in our service to God because we're keeping certain commandments but ignoring others. That's not being real strong in service to God. That's being hypocritical in our lifestyle. So we want to make sure that in our lives we are genuine in our service to God. And if we are, it's going to be demonstrated as our worship is not going to be something where we get together and decide what would be best to worship God, and then we do that and claim we're doing great things in His service. Instead, we're just going to look in His Word and ask, how does He tell us to worship in His Word? Because we really want to do that. We're sincere in that. And so we're just going to look and see, what does He tell us to do? When it comes to judging others, there are times when it's appropriate to help individuals make correction in their lives, but we're never going to do that in a way where we are focusing only on their faults and we're ignoring blatant errors in our own lives. We're going to get rid of sins in our own lives first and cleanse our own lives first, and then we're going to focus on doing the best we can to help others make correction in their lives. We're going to do deeds in a way that's sincere, where we really want to please God and we really want to help others. And our lifestyles in general are going to be consistent because we're not just wanting to do certain things that make it seem like we're serving God. We want to completely submit to the whole counsel of God. And so we're going to surrender to all of His will that's revealed for us in His Word. That's the kind of lifestyle we're going to live if our service to God is sincere and genuine rather than hypocritical. And I hope that this lesson has helped us to understand better what the Scripture teaches about hypocrisy and what we need to do in order to make sure we avoid the trap of hypocrisy that it's so easy to fall into. But there might be some here this morning who are not yet Christians, and this lesson has been directed towards those of us who are. But for those who are not yet Christians, we would encourage you to think about your soul's condition. One of the excuses that man might be tempted to make for failing to become a Christian is that there's a lot of Christians who are hypocrites. And those of us who are Christians need to be doing our very best to make sure that that's not true of us. But those who are not yet Christians, please understand that the hypocrisy that exists in the lives of some Christians you may see is not a problem with the Word of God, because God's Word condemns hypocrisy. And we're not striving to convert you to the hypocrite. We're striving to convert you to God and to His Word and what He commands of us. And we encourage you to submit to His Word. He wants genuine, sincere service. And there are individuals in this world who are genuinely striving to serve God. And that's what He's looking for. And we want you to be one of those individuals. If you've not yet become a Christian, but you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess that, repent of your sins, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, we'd encourage you to let that be known. If you're someone who is a Christian, but you're struggling with something in your life that you'd like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that as well. So if you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we'd encourage you to come forward as together we stand and sing.